Welcome to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast. I'm Mike Pelak. I'm a screenwriter and filmmaker who's always looking to maximize my time and potential as I work to break in. In this podcast, I talk to artists of all kinds who have seen success in their fields about their process, habits, and work ethic. Today on the show is Art Alexakis. Art is the singer and guitar player of the band Everclear. Everclear has 3 platinum records and a Grammy nomination, as well as numerous hit singles. They continue to tour regularly, and Art hints at some new music on the horizon. A couple quick things before we jump into the episode. I've talked in the past about myself working on breaking into screenwriting. Please check out blackoilfilms.com/screenwriting. There you can check out some of the screenplays I've written. I have the first 10 pages of each one uploaded, but feel free to email me at theartistsworkethicpodcast@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to send you a full script if you're interested in reading. The script I want to highlight today is a feature drama called Stay What You Are. Stay What You Are is about a workaholic, former punk rocker who desperately attempts to relive his rock and roll glory days through his daughter's 10th birthday party, while his marriage and career hang in the balance. Last thing before we get into the episode, I would love anyone listening to subscribe, rate, and review the Artist's Work Ethic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us put the show out there for more people to listen to. All right, Art, thank you so much for coming on with me today.
Sure, Mike. Good to see you.
Do you think that your work ethic comes from some kind of, whether early experience, how you were raised, or something else in your life? I always refer to, for me, once I was exposed to punk rock and I saw, you know, DIY and, you know, just doing things myself and just getting out there and making it happen, you know, what would you say was that for you?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, when you look at like the Discord Records and Ian and those guys, they were 100%. I mean, that's the thing, is they paid everybody to the penny, boom, without fail. It always happened. It never failed. If he had to go borrow money from his mom, I don't think he ever did, because I think he always made money. But that was going to happen to you. And that wasn't the truth with other people. Now, work ethic, I've had a pretty strong work ethic my whole life. And I got that, I mean, your question is apropos. I got that from my mom. I got tenacity from my mom. I got all that stuff from my only parent, really, because I didn't learn it from my dad. He left when I was 5. So, I mean, I knew him, like, get letters back and forth. I lived with him for a while when I was in my teens to keep from going to jail. But I didn't learn any ethics or morals from him. That was from my mom. And she had a super strong work ethic. I mean, for her to not go to work, she'd have to be on her deathbed, just about, you know. Cramps, no. Cancer, no. She still went to work with it up to like 3 days before she went in and got the cancer removed, you know. She was that badass. And she was on radiation, and she's still going to work. Those people that were raised in the Depression, fucking tough as nails,
man. Yep.
Yeah. Probably your grandparents, right?
Yep.
Yeah. My mom. I was the baby of the family, but that was my mom. But no, I've always had a really strong work ethic. And I think it irritated people. And I was always upfront of like, look, man, I don't say no to work. I don't say no to work. People would come up to us and go, we just play a show at a gig. And hey, man, we're having a dorm party at the college down the street. We can't pay you, but we'll buy you a beer. I go, You buy those guys two six packs. You buy me a six pack of O'Doul's and some chips and salsa, and we're in. And they'd be like, done. And we'd go play a fucking show. I mean, even in the early days of Everclear, when we were signed to Capitol, they loved us because we wouldn't say no. It's like, you got a show tonight, but it's 21 and over, and we only tried to play all 8 shows. because a lot of our fans at that time were all ages, were underage. And I'd be like, okay, then we have to do an in-store, find us an in-store that we could do for the kids. And we can sell merch there, but it's going to be a free show. And we do that often. I'd say 40% of the time, 50% of the time in 94, 95, 96, up until Afterglow, and even after that to a certain extent. I remember in Canada, we played an in-store before we played a sold-out show, you know, three nights. We had three sold-out shows at the Commodore in Vancouver, and we did an in-store two of those days. And capacity, you know, that's when we were at our peak. But we always tried to do that, and we had that kind of work ethic. But there was also times, yeah, early on where someone from promotion at Capital would go, I've got a distribution company that would love you guys to come play at lunchtime, and they'll buy pizza and salads and stuff. And that's when we were in the van. I'm gonna be like, okay. No wonder I thrashed my voice, because I was singing, you know, screaming. This is back in the screaming days, three shows a day. But there's still people to this day who look at us and still are in the business. And remember, you were the band that never said no. You always delivered 100, 150%, and people always liked you. You always took time to talk to people and after the show or whatever it was, and we made good impressions. Even to this day, all of our business is touring, whether it's bus tour or flyaway dates. And I am insistent. And when I say insistent, I'm to the point of like, I will fire you right now if you do anything to make them think badly of me or the band. I'm not going to do it. The band's not going to do it. We're always friendly. We always make ourselves accessible. And we always give a great show. And we always show up on time. There, you know, and we always get rave reviews from promoters. With the advent of the coronavirus, we don't do a lot of meet and greet. We'll do some meet and greets, but they have to be distanced. And I know people are like breaking stuff down. I don't care. I've got an autoimmune disease. I had COVID for 2 months. We're wearing masks. If you're coming to a meet and greet this year, we have our 30th anniversary tour, which talks about ethics right there, that we're still around for 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? Without blowing my own horn, I mean, that kind of says a lot. We're masking up, and people are going to come meet us. They're going to mask up. So, but as far as ethics go, that is probably more important to me than ever. But they've always been, work ethics have always been incredibly important. I work hard, even in the studio. I'm a pain in the ass, but at least other people are like, God, we're in here for 12 fucking hours today. You know, we're signed to a major label. Why are we working so hard? I go, because we've got things to do. Art is working as hard, if not harder, than anybody else. I'm not expecting anything from anybody that I wouldn't do twice as much.
Sure. So. And I think that's been, saying yes to things has been such a common thread in this podcast, saying yes to things and then doing things that set yourselves apart from your peers. And I think even just your, like you said, your availability, whether you're at your merch booth and meeting people before or after a show, those are the things that not everyone does. And, you know, you're adding some kind of, I don't know if it's the right term, but you're kind of adding value for your fans. And it's that's separating yourself. Yeah, for sure. And you're cementing long-term fans and then long-term success. Really? Through that work ethic, you know, and just being out there when everyone else is back on the bus, you know, drinking beer.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm clean and sober. I've been clean and sober almost 33 years. So that's never been a thing with me, but it's not a thing with the people I work with. I don't have any addicts on the road. I don't have alcoholics on the road. Guys have a few beers. I don't care. I'll go buy you a beer. You know, I make my wife cocktails because she drinks maybe 10 drinks a year, you know, but I don't have addicts, practicing addicts. Like I got a couple of sober guys and that's cool. And we have meetings on the bus. That's awesome. If you're in recovery, man, I'm your biggest cheerleader and I'll give you a job if you're cleaning. I had to let go of a guy that worked for me for 20 years last year because he wouldn't get into treatment. And then about 2 months after I let him go, month and a half after I let him go, we did an intervention on him, got him into treatment. He's sober and clean almost 8 months now, kicking ass, running meetings, doing his whole thing. And he's been working for me again for 3 months. And just, I don't want to say he's like he used to be. Well, he's better. He's better. He's a better version of himself. Just like my wife says, when I do my work and go to meetings and doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm a better version. I'm the best version of myself. And to have your partner say that, I mean, we win. Big win.
Yeah, totally. Anyone in a creative field has definitely received their share of no's. You know, I have. I'm sure you have. What have you told yourself to take that no and just, you know, whether it's find something positive in it or just pushing forward and driving on with your determination and focus?
That's funny that you should say that. So this happened last, what is today, Tuesday? So Thursday or Friday, we're waiting. My daughter's trying to get into these fancy art schools and this one really fancy private school, but they're very hard to get into. She got into the international school, that's a private school. That was hard. And then she got into another art school. It was really hard. She got into the conservatory of her choice, which is incredibly hard. But then the third school, which is the one of the top rated art schools, even though it's public charter school, it's incredibly hard to get into. And she didn't get it. And it broke her heart. And I'm trying to explain to her, but then I just stopped and let her grieve for a couple of days. But then I told her, I said, look, in my stuff, in storage, I have a binder of rejection letters for Everclear that look like a phone book. Now, kids don't know what a phone book looks like. Right? They don't know what a phone book is. So I showed her a picture of a phone book. And then I showed her those rejection letters. And I got my ass kicked constantly back in the day. And I learned from my mother, it didn't matter how many times people tell you no, you got to get back up again. And I learned that it doesn't matter how many times or what the manner is that you get knocked down. It's how you pick yourself up and that you pick yourself up and what you do then. And to learn from failure, to learn from it. I, as a guy in my fellowship, sober fellowship, I welcome failure because I learn. I learn from it. I either learn how to do it better, learn how to do it differently, or I learned that that's not the thing for me. And I think my daughter is, we accepted the one art school that was really hard to get into. And at first we were questionable about it, but now we're like really excited about it. It's like that with anything. I mean, still to this day, I'm constantly trying to get stuff done. I'm trying to fight age. I've got multiple sclerosis. You know, I got that. I've been diagnosed for, 6 years? Yeah, 6 years. And it's not getting easier. It's getting harder, especially after COVID. COVID kicked my ass with the MS. It made it worse. But I'm still doing it. I have to work harder. You have to work harder. To be honest with you, this is something you're touching on that's really important to me. It's like, how do you raise kids? And you got two babies right now, 4 and 1. How do you raise them, take care of them the best you can, give them a better life than you had, right? Less baggage psychologically, mentally, less damage, all that stuff. But at the same time, instill that fire in their belly. How do you do that?
I'm hoping it's by example. Hoping.
I don't know. I don't, I, to be honest with you, I don't think it is. I think that it's, it, I think it could partly be that, but I'm also beginning to think that you have to really be present with whatever adversity comes up. My daughter, like a lot of kids, suffers from anxiety, depression, OCD thoughts that she didn't have before COVID, before quarantine, right? And it's not gone because of it, but because quarantine's over, it's there in her and all our friends. All these kids are on medication. All these kids are in therapy. People I meet all over the country, all over the world, same story. If you have an adolescent child, chances are it's really rough. But that's adversity for her to springboard on. I think being present with it, understanding it, acknowledging it, and then moving on from it. Yeah, I'm anxious. I'm anxious about speaking in front of people today. Okay. Well, you've done your homework. You've done your work. You've got it right there. Go get them. Yeah. Scared? Sucks. Go do it. It's almost like Ray Liotta and Goodfellas. Ah, your wife got sick. Fuck you. Pay me. You know, it's that kind of tenacity, but in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in a way where I'm going to kill you or cut off your legs. You know, that's that kind of thing. This is just like, so what? Do it anyway.
Sure.
I suffered from anxiety and depression and OCD back in the 80s after I got clean. I was miserable, but that's when I started just throwing myself scared and just angry, but into what I was doing. I named my first band Shaking, my first real band that we made a demo and, you know, actually recorded and played shows. That was me singing, writing all the songs called Shaking Brave, because that's what I was. I'm shaking but brave, right? And I still think it's a cool name, but a lot of people didn't like that name. But I thought it was a cool name. And because it really just showed that you do it anyway, regardless of fear of being not accepted, of not being good, you do it anyway. And that's how you get body memory of how to perform, and you get body memory of how to act correctly in each situation, whether it's music or business or life or school. You got to do it, and you got to find that internal test fortitude to do it. And that, I think, comes from example.
Well, that's a great segue into my last question, is how important would you say persistence and perseverance are into, you know, a successful work ethic, especially in the arts and the creative fields and all that?
Man, people always ask me, so if you just give me one thing, you know, this is always in interviews, always one, like if someone asks you, how do you be successful? I go, don't give up. What else? That's it, man. Don't give up. Look, you still might not be successful if you don't give up, but you will definitely not be successful. And there'll be another person going, thanks, man. Can you get out of the way? Awesome, because I want that more than you do.
Yep.
And worst case, you. But there is always someone who wants it more. Be that person.
For sure. At worst case, you know you tried.
Yeah, but I mean, when I say try, I mean do everything you can. But also be present to the point of like, all right, this isn't supposed to happen. I mean, Everclear was my last band. I was 32, which is ancient in the world of rock, especially back then, to the point of when I signed with Capitol, they told me to lie about my age. I'm like, no. Why? Because it's lying. I don't want to do that. And to be honest with you, I might forget. I did a lot of drugs back in the day, kid. There's synapses a little slow right there. But all joking aside, I didn't want to do that. But I mean, if this didn't happen for me, I was like, this is my last band. I'm going to put everything into it. I'm not going to take no. I'm not going to say no, and I'm not going to take no. And not in a menacing way, but just in a, just tenacity and perseverance. When you say perseverance and persistence, that's my mantra. That's why I started smiling. That and tenacity. Just be that dog that will not let go. I'm not a great singer. I'm not a great guitar player. But my voice is unique, that it sounds like me, and my words are unique. My songs, as unique as you can be in rock and roll. I pattern myself after, you know, very unique sounding people like Neil Young, John Prine. Even the Beatles didn't have classically beautiful voices, or Mick Jagger. They made it work for them within their own context. They created their own cliches, and they created their own context. And that's what I tell people. Create your own cliches. Make it yours. And today, there's not a lot of that in popular music. And when I say there's not a lot of that, I don't really see any, or very little. So, and there's very little rock and roll, which is depressing. I hope it comes back. Who knows? But that being said, perseverance, persistence, and tenacity are 90% of the game a lot of times.
For sure. Anything that you want to plug before we go?
Yeah. We have there's a teaser video that's going to be showing up pretty soon, that's going to tell you what's happening this year with our 30th anniversary. We got a lot of surprises, a lot of stuff coming out. I'm going to re-release a record. Might have new songs. Might have we've got new artwork, new stuff. We're doing a tour with some cool bands, and we'll announce that in early April. So it's a lot of stuff coming up. So if you're an Everclear fan or a 90s alternative rock fan, it's going to be a good year.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much for coming on with me today.
Thanks, Mike. Good talking to you. Good questions, brother.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please subscribe to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, and please rate and review the show. Follow us on Instagram at The Artist's Work Ethic, and check out theartistsworkethic.com.